listening to the Authentic Success Podcast, episode number 5. I'm Sean Tuttle at The Natural Professional, and that is natural as in authentically you, and professional as in being recognized and supported for systematically making a positive impact in your sphere. Since the last episode, I agreed to, well, I didn't exactly agree. I enthusiastically volunteered to teach a podcasting class. And it got me to thinking about why we agree to take on certain things. I'm not a long-time major expert in podcasting. I just love podcasting and I love teaching. And when someone came to me saying that there were a few people who had been wanting to get a podcast going, separate projects, and they were having some hesitation just because there were all these different logistics and they had questions. I was like, well, yeah, there's like a gazillion and a half things that you need to kind of think it through and just kind of figure out along the way. And I just jumped in and was like, yes, I want to do that. And I've got like a gazillion other projects going on. So I just wanted to throw out a few considerations that went into helping me decide that this was actually a good idea. One was that I was just so freaking excited. I mean, I just totally lit up and was like, yeah, me, I'll do it. It's like, okay, that kind of enthusiasm needs to be listened to. And two, looking at my current palette of commitments, because I've got a lot of different stuff going on, one of the things that has been missing for a while, since last October actually, is teaching. I see the different forms that my work take as different forms of soul expression. So be it doing the podcast, writing a blog post, doing one-on-one work, teaching a class. These are all different forms for my soul to come forth and meet the world. There are different ways that I get to feel purposeful and experience meaningful work. One of the ways that I know that teaching groups, teaching classes, is such an integral part of my own expression is that I really, really miss it when I'm not doing it. So since the last one was in October, the Walk Tall class, and I don't have any others scheduled at the moment, when this one popped up, there was just a part of me that was like, yes, teach, fun, go, now, commit. The third one is a flip side of the Parkinson's Law. And you know the Parkinson's Law. It's the adage which states that work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. In other words, if you have 3 hours to do a task, it's going to take 3 hours. If you have 2 hours to take a task, it's going to take 2 hours. You just figure out how to make it work given the time available. And sometimes I have found for myself that if I have too much discretionary time in my schedule, I can get a little bit lazy with the amount of time it takes me to do certain projects. So by adding in a very fixed deadline, short time frame project into the mix, it's kind of tightening up the rest of my scheduling for all of the other progress that I'm making on other projects. This third one is actually a retrospect understanding of the situation, but it all kind of goes into the mix of, you know, why the heck not throw together a podcast class and teach it in less than a month? With that, let's come back to the Authentic Success Podcast. Today's episode is a conversation-style interview with Mandy Lucchese. Mandy is a yoga teacher, and she's the founder and owner of Kinfolk Yoga, a community yoga studio in Grass Valley, California. She's a ceramic sculptor, and she is passionate about sustainability and lives off-grid. I have long loved being a student of Mandy's. Her big smile, her fun yoga outfits, her soothing voice inviting us to return home within, the poems she reads by Mary Oliver, the poses she moves us through with grace. It's like getting a big dose of heart-opening goodness with every yoga class. And I've also camped with her at Burning Man and spent some time with her when she shared an art studio with my boyfriend. So our paths have crossed a lot in the last several years. The reason I wanted to bring you a conversation with Mandy is that she has a heart of gold, and she brings that to business. But the thing about Mandy is that she isn't trying to figure out how to bring heart into business. She is actively practicing bringing business into heart because that's where she lives. That's her reality. Her integrity and consistency have created a yoga studio that feels nourishing and supportive through and through 100%. And testing our ability in this conversation to go with the flow, the rhythm of our talk was influenced a bit by her landlord who wanted to show the conference room that we were in to a prospective new tenant. So you'll catch that in the middle of the interview. So with that, take a nice, deep, relaxing yogic breath and we'll get started. Okay, cool. With that, Mandy, I'm so thrilled that you are going to have this conversation today. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. So one of my intentions for this podcast is to explore authentic and rich living. And my ultimate hope with this is to inspire people and inspire them to give themselves permission to live more deeply and more connected with their heart in a practical way. Because so often, and this is very much the case in yoga, it seems like, that we go to class and we really sink in and we relax into ourselves and just feel absolutely awesome. And then we walk outside and get in our car and, you know, the empty light comes on and someone cuts us off and, you know, life happens and it gets crazy. So it can be tough to remember to stay in that nice, quiet, together place. And one of the things that I have loved about knowing you and experiencing your yoga class and, you know, just interacting with you over the years is that you so consistently show up in your presence. And it seems like you've got this essence of fun and generosity and thoughtfulness and graciousness that you bring to everything that I've encountered you in. And to me, that represents a very strong, mature self-awareness. So my first, let's open with, is there a situation in your past or in childhood or something that sort of set off a more self-aware path? Or is this just who you've been your whole life?
Good questions. This is who I've been my whole life. Much to probably the demise of my parents through childhood, I was the kid who, if we were at a park and I saw an old person sitting alone, I would go over there and sit next to him, or the kid on the playground that just didn't have someone on the teeter-totter, I'd be the first person to run over and help. And so, odd as it was, I've always had this inclination to be in service, to let everyone be included, to be seen, to be heard, because that's what has ultimately given me the most joy, is when I'm in collaboration or when we do things together. And so there's strength in the individual that can work solidly by themselves, and my strengths come from others.
Wow. Not many kids have really that confidence to be okay being the one to step out and do something differently. There seems to be a lot of wanting to fit in, be a part of the crowd, be accepted in a group, so that is, and that actually explains a lot of, of how you just bring that to everything you do so gracefully.
Yeah, well, maybe it was just being naive. I mean, maybe I had the disability of, or maybe, you know, it's not a disability, but what is fitting in and what is being self-confident or having confidence, you know, when you're little? Is that learned, or where is that inside ourselves? And so I just didn't think, you know, when you're young, you don't think about things. You just do them because that's what you do.
Right, right. So looking at now, so kind of taking that theme forward where you do have a mature ability to observe that and contemplate on that, where do you feel that self-confidence and that ability to be present and know who you are in the context of fitting into your greater world, where does that come from?
I think I'm still discovering who I am, and I think that the older I get, the more humble I get of not knowing many things. And also with that comes this confidence of accepting myself as I am. I was speaking with this very insightful woman, and she was asking me about my business, and she was saying, you know, let's talk about where you see yourself successful and what that measure is.
I don't know who's in here, so I might have to show this room.
We were just interrupted by someone saying they were going to need the conference room soon. And you were sharing that you were having a conversation with somebody else about your business.
So this insightful woman talking about my business said, what is your measure of success? And I said, my measure of success is when I come into Kinfolk Yoga and the previous teacher comes out of a totally filled classroom and has that look on her face that she loves what she does. She's happy where she's at. She's totally in service of this great population of students. There's a buzz in the lobby. People are intermingling. They're laughing. They're joyful. They're happy and healthy. I've got people out in the waiting room ready to take a class that fills the energy of the previous class. And so the woman that looks at me and she goes, Okay. I get that your measure of success is not based on numbers. This is not a equation of, okay, 18 people can fill this 800 square foot and this is how I am. You think of success through a cinematography. And I was like, And so where it becomes authentic to me and how I've become who I am is to realize that I create everything visually, and then it embodies a feeling tone. And so I've been trying to do my business model of how I do everything through what I internally can envision and the sensory perception, the feeling that it invokes in me.
Nice. Let's explore that more. Because one of the things that I was thinking about, in the last few days before we talked, was the idea of experience, and in two directions. So there's one, there's the experience that you have as an individual and diving into your authentic self and your true nature that you bring forth in whatever you do. And then there's the element of providing an experience. So specifically, for example, with a yoga studio, if you just look at the nuts and bolts and that kind of that bare bones bottom line side, you put out a schedule. I show up at 4:00. I come to a yoga class. You know, maybe I can use the mat, maybe not. I pay my money and I go. And that's not what my yoga experience is with you at all. Mm-hmm. So when I was in Thailand, I took yoga classes from a lot of different people, and none of them did I walk away from with the same experience that I have when I leave your class. So you mentioned that in a visual perspective, but there's something that you bring forth, and there's an experience that you provide your community that very much comes from, like I can tell that very much comes from your heart. Mm-hmm. So in this idea of a new way of doing business, a feminine way of doing business, I would love to, you know, talk more about your experience of how you're bringing forth that feeling into both the classes that you teach and the business that you are creating. Because you bring on teachers, how do you know which are the right teachers to bring on? You know, you have a beautiful space. How did you choose that space? And so there's an unfolding. There are a lot of decisions that go into building that business, and they all go into creating this experience. Mm-hmm. So that's enough from me.
Let's see if we can suck that all in.
Yeah, suck that all in. So let's start with an actual question then.
Okay.
What would the question be there?
I think I can jump right in.
Play with that. Okay. Great.
It's not mine originally, but it's been something for me to chew on. And in yoga, we have the yamas and the niyamas, and they're self-restraints. And so the first yama is ahimsa, which is non-harming. And so how do you do business with the yamas and niyamas? And so the first one with non-harming is, okay, so somebody comes into the studio, and I know they're probably going to practice like one day a week. They're a business owner. They've got three babies. You know, whatever it is. So ahimsa to me is, you know, I could push a sell of being like, oh, you should do a monthly unlimited. It's a great way to, you know, get all the classes in. But I know that financially, if you're only coming one day a week, you should buy a pass, like a class pass of like, you know, a 4 or an 8. And so ethically, like I start to live with these values of, you know, it causes harm when I'm trying to upsell something when I know that's not the best thing for a person. Mm. And then you have like, you know, Astraya, like non-stilling. How do I do advertisement where there are a lot of great things that we can now go onto the internet and grab and still? And some of it is totally like, you know, great inspiration, but where do you work it in a way that like, you know, you're putting your mark on things, and sometimes it's unpolished and refined because that's where you are as a business owner or a teacher. But feeling confident that, like, you know, I'm doing this to represent me, and I'm not taking, you know, somebody else's and putting my name on it. And that's a very delicate dance that we do. And so I feel like even when I'm choosing a teacher, it has to come back to that vision that I'm creating and that feeling that it's trying to invoke, that I have to have my mission statement and it has to work from the core to the periphery. And so when I have a teacher come, they have to embody and resonate the values of kinfolk yoga. Mm-hmm. I have to know that they're more concerned about the well-being of a person than the numbers that come to their class. And by doing that, by living authentically and making a unique studio because people are really seen here, that's what's going to create larger numbers, is because we're creating a different experience than what you get traveling around the world, New York, LA, San Francisco, or Portland, a studio that is a little more organic and homegrown. And maybe it doesn't have like that slick, city-fied feeling to it, but that's not what we're trying to create. We're, you know, our tagline is your community, your yoga. Mm. So I feel that that is where it is. And also in my statement, I say I'm trying to strip down the barriers of teacher and student. And it's the same thing with, you know, owner and teachers. There has to be a certain groundwork to be a good leader, but you also have to let them know that what they say and what they contribute is very valuable. And so we're always trying to do these things as activities as teachers. So we've got ropes course coming on. One of our teachers is an actress and she's got a play that's down in Auburn. So a group of us are going to that. So really, not letting it feel like it's a work environment where you just come and you do that, but creating more of a home.
Mm. Yeah, I have noticed that the sense of community, and not the sense of, but a community is very prominent in everything on the website, but then everything that you've said and shared as well. So the mission of Kinfolk, what is your vision that you're bringing forth, which translates into the mission?
It's a one-liner. It's a hub for health and happiness. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's to inspire, to help people feel seen, and to allow the container for them to come here and really steep into their own self. Mm-hmm. And so if you think of like making tea, like kinfolk, I want us to be this like gorgeous porcelain cup. And then I want the teachers to be this exotic, flavorful tea blend. Mm-hmm. And then I want the students to be like, okay, today, you know, I don't want to steep it so long. I want something that's a little less pungent. Or, you know what, today I really want to just simmer in this and bake. And so I feel like one element, if you just have a cup, it could be empty. And if you have tea, like, you need the cup. And then it's the personal practice, the person that comes and is like, oh, I have all these ingredients laid out. What am I going to choose? And to give a practitioner that choice. That's the ultimate freedom. Instead of being told this is the way you have to do it, is finding that inner guru and allowing them to have like the permission that, oh wow, my body's suggesting this little movement. Can I do this involved in this group practice and feel safe? Mm-hmm. And so it's also just teaching people like, you are your best teacher, and yes, we'll put you into the alignment that's safe, but really the work of yoga is this, you signed up for a lifetime apprenticeship with you.
Yeah. We'll be right back. With yoga that I feel can be better pulled into business, and I'm not sure how, so maybe we can play with this.
Sure.
So I, as a student, come to a yoga class and am provided, you know, same kind of thing, a space, a mat, and instruction. And the more I am present in it, the more I get out of it. So it's a very co-creative situation. Which again brings it back to, this is my experience of it. And if I am present and I open myself and I let myself just go with the flow of the experience, again, I get a lot more of it. So I'm paying for an experience. I'm not paying for a yoga class, right? So.
Well said.
And I feel in business, there's been a lot of, especially in it, so as a growing business owner, a business owner growing a business, something like that, there are the questions from this more masculine paradigm that keep getting, you know, pushed, put at you, you know, like, what problem are you trying to solve? What pain point? What are you offering? And, you know, like, stuff that can be measured. Mm-hmm. And these metrics, and like you said, how many people come through and how much do they pay per and blah, blah, blah. So it's very hard to put a price on experience. And yet that is what you are ultimately providing for the people who come through your door. And so that's an easy to understand in terms of a yoga class. In terms of a service, a business service, it gets a little bit tougher because people want to know, if I hire you, what are you going to do for me? What am I going to gain from this? Which takes the focus off a bit of the co-creative aspect of these two people working together. Mm-hmm. And taking ownership of, I need to bring myself to this experience to get the most out of it. So from your experience in that co-creative aspect and the community and the experiential part, does that trigger any thoughts for you on how that might, I guess, play out in just in other contexts for people?
Definitely. When we come into a yoga practice, when we lay out our mat, our gaze, our thoughts, everything becomes our words. And so it's really important to have an intention. And sometimes we stay with it throughout the entire class, and sometimes it dissipates. But I think that this applies to, you know, coming back every day of like, why am I here? And why am I doing this? And sometimes, truthfully, it's not a co-creation, because people have been working so hard all day, they don't want to have to do, think, on their own. They just want to be guided. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem with that. It's also accepting that as it is. And so it's nice to be able to be like, yeah, there is a certain responsibility of you're showing up to do the work, but also to accept, like, everyone is in a different phase of their day, their emotions, and to make space for them all, for those people that need to be held, pushed, and those people that need to be left alone. The beautiful aspect about this yoga practice is, yes, people are buying, okay, I'm going to come to my mat and this is going to help my heart. It's going to eliminate, like, this constant stress that I have. Where yoga starts to work is off the mat. When you talk about you're buying an experience, wait, what was your words? You're paying for experience, not a yoga class, is that you'll be driving, like we were talking about earlier, and all of a sudden when somebody cuts you off, when you get back into like the hustle of life, instead of you like displaying your finger, all of a sudden you're like, ha, and you let out a sigh and you're like, wow, you know what? I just didn't shoot out profanities out of my mouth. I had a moment of like pause, and all of a sudden the cortisone's like not like shooting through your brain and your like blood. You're already at like this like, wow, that's where it's becoming like, that's where I'm starting to be personally held responsible for what I co-created, is that I was present enough in my mat to show up as sloppy as I was, not wanting to do the work, but just to be there. And now it's got this like shelf life where it's an hour later and I'm reacting differently than I would have if I hadn't shown up and taken that time out of my busy life to give myself 120 minutes or 90 minutes just to regroup, to listen in, and to ask myself, how am I feeling today? And how do I care for this precious, tender soul?
Right.
So.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So that kind of points back to that true nature, which is, I know, is a term that you use in your classes, listening in and allowing that to unfold. I know that a lot of people have difficulty in recognizing what their vision is. Mm-hmm. And so that you are so clued in to yours and can have some sort of understanding of how you can work with that to manifest that in your business and, you know, in your class is a real gift, is a real gift. Because a lot of people, I think, are floating because they don't have that connection, and therefore they don't really know how to, you know, like, how do you manifest something that you don't really know what it is? So can you share a little bit more about maybe how either your experience of it, how you cultivate the space for it, how do you allow and bring more of that into your life so that you're then able to share it?
Great question, and difficult to answer. Mm-hmm. You're asking me to name my defining action, the one quality that I always bring to my work and to every context that I enter. And to put it back into a story, one time I was asking this woman, like, oh, what do you do for your work? And she says, I clarify. And it was so true. You know, like when somebody is living their dharma, their truth, it lands. Like, it gives you goosebumps when you just see someone like, oh, of course, that's totally you. And so I can't say that it's actually like landed. I have glimmers of it, you know, when I was like, wow, if I had to say I dot dot dot, like, what is it for me? And my first hit was I adjust. And then there was a part of me that wanted to be like, no, 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 no. Because my whole life, I've always been the one that bends, the one that's totally accommodating, the one that's like, oh, we'll make this right. And oh, I'll sit in that empty chair, or, you know, all these things. And then I was like, you know, there's a part of me like, no, I'm deserving of more. I don't want to be the one that adjusts. Like, I want to be like the one that doesn't. And the woman said, oh, So you don't want to be flexible. And so applying this to like your studio, you want people to be locked into these contracts, only come to your studio. And as she was speaking these things of not being able to adjust, I'm like, no, that's not what I want at all. Mm-hmm. And so it brought it back to me of sometimes we resist our true nature. I am super malleable. I am super soft. That is who has made me up to be who I am. And sometimes there's a part of me that's like, really? Come on. And it lands. Like, the more that you actually embrace the parts that you love of yourself as much as the parts of yourself that you, through your lens, aren't really proud of, the more you find your true nature. And that expands, and that starts to solidify. Like, when you're speaking about your dharma, people go, oh yeah, I get that. And so it's just the gift of like taking it all in. Like in yoga, we say, you know, it's the yoking, it's the uniting. It's not pulling yourself into these parts. It's seeking that connection of your wholeness. And so finding your true nature is just that. A celebration of you and all your unperfect perfections.
Sweet. Yeah, I love the tie back to wholeness.
Yeah.
Which really does seem to be what it's all about. And yeah. Gathering up those various parts of ourselves and accepting them and loving them and letting them be.
Yeah.
What they are.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any thoughts or advice for people looking to live a more deeply authentic life for themselves?
Do yoga. No.
Well, that too. Hopefully that went without saying.
Yeah. Be humble. We are on this planet for such a short time. And to think that we know more than we know leads to greater suffering. Mm-hmm. Connect. You're so much better in collaboration. See your strengths and then seek out help for your weaknesses. Continue to be a great mirror to others and allow yourselves to be mirrored. So if there's something that is hurting you or you're struggling with, use that as an opportunity. Use that obstacle to be like, okay. And realize that, you know, we have to have resistance. We have to have challenges for our own personal growth. And realize these times that we're living in right now, the year of the horse, where we are in 2014, times are intense and everything starts to push us. We start to almost get seduced by our own suffering. Oh, I've got this going on and this going on. And it's really easy to get swallowed up in fear. And I think that the time right now is just keep moving forward and really look at your life and those sufferings, but don't sit down in them. Like, you know, use them to be like, okay, I'm not going to keep glancing over my shoulder. That's not defining me. And just realize that you're more than you ever could imagine. You're more resilient. And the time is now to just step into your authentic self.
Sweet. Thank you, Mandy.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
If you live in Nevada County, you can enjoy Mandy's beautiful energy in person. You'll find a schedule of classes at www.kinfolkyoga.com or at facebook.com/kinfolkyoga. And kinfolk is spelled K-I-N-F-O-L-K. And then yoga, Y-O-G-A. And these links will be in the show notes at naturalprofessional.com. En ce moment, mon téléphone sonne tous les matins pour dire des trucs plus loin de ce qu'on... I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Mandy Lucchesi as much as I did. I'll wrap up with one final note. within the last couple of weeks, we got the podcast onto Stitcher. And in order to be included in the Stitcher list ranking, we need to have at least 5 reviews of the show. This is what makes it easier for other people to find the show and helps us spread the word. So please, please, please leave a review on Stitcher or iTunes or both. We're not picky. That's it for this episode. Until the next time, may you enjoy immense, authentic success.
Il se coquérise, ce sacré patapouf. Lisa dans ses lignes biscuitées. Par terre, étendue, la girouette coule de girofles. Il se coquérise sur sa crête patapouille, venu de la verrerie, toujours la vérité, et se marbre seul dans ses lignes biscuitées. Par terre, étendue, la girouette coule de girofles. Sacré patapouf. Venu de la verrerie, il dit toujours la vérité et se marbre seul dans ses biscuités.
En ce moment, mon téléphone sonne tous les matins pour dire des trucs plus ou moins secondes.
Il se coquérise, ce sacré patapouf. Venu de la verrerie, il dit toujours la vérité et se marbre seul dans ses lignes biscuités. Par terre, étendue, la girouette coule de girofle.
Intelligent.